Hello and welcome to Reanimated, episode 222. My name's Stuart. I'm one of your hosts. With me is the, I sound like death. Similarly, getting there is my co-host, H.A. Conrad in New York.
I prefer to think that I sound like undeath, but yeah. You know. Well,
some of us aren't eager to become zombies, H.A.
True. But yeah, hello. I will be a little scratchy today, but you know, gonna power through. It'll be awesome.
We were just talking before we started recording about how there wasn't a lot of news, but then I just thought of something that I wanted to speak with you about, H.A. We are going to talk about the Pinterest horror show.
Oh, yes.
But have you heard of E.E.E.? Equine.
Oh. Oh, yeah. That's been kicking around for a while.
It's been knocking people off on the East Coast. And it's obviously it's horse related. And you know, the other thing that's kicking around too is the zombie deer thing. And that's been, we've been seeing stories about that and we've talked about it before, but apparently now it's trying to get into Nevada.
Yeah.
But what do you know about the equine
thing? Encephalitis. Well, so similar to West Nile, it's one of those things where it's been around, like this isn't new, but what is new, I think, is the number of deaths and,
it was an insignificant number of deaths.
It's not insignificant. And, you know, they don't really, because some people, like, so it gets, it's a mosquito-borne virus, as so many things are.
Yep.
And basically people get it because the mosquitoes bite an infected horse, and then they bite the human. This is similar to West Nile and other things, is that some people like don't really have a reaction to it, but then some people die. Some people have a really oversized immune reaction response to it, and their brain swell and they die. And so it's been, I mean, amongst other things, but it's been in the news a lot, but it's been like one of those things that like, I mean, I know when West Nile was here, they went crazy and like probably even worse than the mosquitoes themselves. They were dropping like tons of pesticides everywhere. So it was like, that was a little terrifying too. So I don't know what the, like, hopefully it starts to get cold and this will like stop being spread, but it has been a significant number in like Connecticut and New England.
So they're
not sure. They think maybe, I mean, I think that the sort of hypothesis is that it's perhaps mutated a little bit, which is why you're seeing more like the death toll that has been taking place. But nobody knows for sure why it's been happening. So and why certain people react that way and others don't. So that's fun. Terrifying. The other thing you and I were talking about, interestingly enough, because we have an Australian film to chat about today, but was the flu season in Australia has been apparently pretty bad.
Yeah.
And part of why they think it's so bad is that, you know, the flu virus is one of those things that mutates, and what they try to do, at least in the US, is base the flu vaccine on sort of what's been happening in other countries, specifically Australia, because it's a different season. So apparently they just had a pretty bad season. So once I get healthy, I will be getting a flu shot. Toot sweet. And hopefully it covers whatever this is, or, you know, even partial coverage, I guess, is good. So I cannot wait to feel healthy and go and get my flu shot.
I'm ready to go get mine. My kids, my older boy he's determined that shots are bad. And, in the past it was kind of easy to trick him into going and getting one or something, but now it's going to be a bit of an uphill challenge. So
what, like stickers, nothing works, right? Like it's hard.
Yeah. Basically when he puts his foot down, it's hard to incentivize him.
I can't imagine where he got that stubbornness from.
Nope. Not for me. I'm a pushover.
Uh-huh.
So mom's gory zombie photo shoot compared to, quote, abortion scene is the headline from this New York Post article that we're going to talk about.
All right. Well, it is the New York Post. And it's, like, come on.
That was going to be my first disclaimer. The Daily Mail, the New York Post is a pile of garbage most of the time.
Yes. And this is just like, okay, so this amateur photographer, she decided to have fun with her kids for like a Halloween photo shoot. I agree. It's a little like, you know, it's it is intense. She did put a disclaimer on it. She said this isn't everybody's cup of tea, and she did tell people to warn them about it. I will say, in her favor, she got like a ton of like, whether people liked or hated it, it got distributed everywhere. She did this like photo shoot with like Jell-O as blood and like, you know, fake tattoos on her kids. And in some ways it was to kind of give her daughter a sort of a look into how zombie makeup and stuff is done so that she wouldn't be as scared of horror films. And,
her daughter is five. She should not be watching horror films. That's just my two cents.
You know, sometimes people see it out there. Anyway, so, but in any case, I think, you know, this is kind of weird. I don't know that I would do this with my kids. But I also think, I don't know, I think people are overreacting a little bit. So
I think the most egregious part of the story is the spelling of Kennedy's name.
Yeah, that agreedly, it is not good.
Oh, boy. All right, anyway, I'm eager to put this one behind us. So, yeah, I guess I think it's inappropriate to put fake blood all over your children and photograph them and put them on the internet too. But I'm not going to write her a sternly worded letter or express my outrage on her Pinterest page.
Correct. I think it's ridiculous, and it's faux outrage if you ask me.
Yeah.
But this brings us to, you know, children, appropriate horror things. I don't know. But this leads into...
This does raise a very good point for the film that we're about to talk about.
Correct. So if we're reacting that, I don't know, like, so...
Little Monsters.
Yep. So this is a film that we've been talking about for a very long time, the first time we heard wind of it. I do love that the trailer that they did basically is, you know, leading into all this and ends with an Academy Award winner, Lupita Nyong'o. So she's definitely the star of this film.
She deserves the star of this film. I mean, that phrase can mean a couple different things.
I know.
This is really the story of Uncle Dave.
It is, but so anyway, but she's better.
So this was directed and written by Abe Forsyth. And then, obviously, you've got your Josh Gads, your Lupita Nyong'os. Alexander England is the guy who plays Uncle Dave, or Dave. He does not go by Uncle Dave. And his sister is played by Cat Stewart. And then Felix is played by a very precocious...
Little young man. Diesel.
Good actor.
With a
Diesel
great name.
La Torraca.
Love him.
Yeah, so he's... It's not over the top. Well, okay, so let's start from the top. I freaking love this movie. And I will defend it to my grave. How about you?
I loved aspects of this movie. I think that overall it was successful, but there were parts of it that were not. So, and I think had they tweaked it a little bit, it would have been an overwhelming success for me.
Wow. Okay. All right. So what was difficult about this movie in a way was the first act. The first act of this movie is... very much about Dave. So Albert England's character. Sorry, Albert? Alexander England's
Alexander,
character.
Alexander,
yeah. And he's a real douche. Like,
he not a sympathetic character in any way, shape, or form.
Not at all. You only really keep watching, I guess. It is tough to watch that first act. So you only really keep watching because he's also kind of funny, even though he's completely irreverent and inappropriate. But his interactions with his nephew Felix are, at the same time, inappropriate, kind of dangerous. He takes him out in the middle of the night.
Yep.
But Felix is so funny, and Felix carries those scenes.
Oh, my God.
The writing for Felix and the whole Darth Vader thing really carries that one scene where he goes back to his ex-girlfriend's house.
Yep. Okay, so this is one of the parts where I think if they had tweaked it slightly, it would have been a little bit better. Because they make him so unsympathetic that it is a bit hard to even believe that he can
evolve the arc
from that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, honestly, to me, it doesn't make you invested in his story because you just don't really care enough about him. You're kind of like, I want to stop watching this train wreck. And I think because this film is getting a lot of comparisons to Shaun of the Dead, that's what I will compare it to. So
you compare everything to Shaun of the Dead.
Well, it is the best. But, you know, the difference is that in Shaun of the Dead, the character of Shaun, while he had challenges and there were things about him that were incredibly frustrating, there was also an endearing quality to him. And you cared about whether he made it to the... You wanted him to succeed.
They did toe that line well between him, his roommate, and his and him. Their relationship was kind of fraught.
Right, because there was... Yeah, so there was that, you know, it was definitely, and I think that's why you get invested in a character like that. And in this, I was struggling to really care about what happened to this character. I kind of wanted him to die really quickly, and that didn't happen. So anyway, that said, I will
agree with you that it was a little bit difficult to believe his character arc based on where he started, but it's not like... Yeah, he was not a great guy. He was definitely a bad guy, but I still enjoyed his character enough and the jokes that he was making to stick around for his redemption arc.
Well, and I think what they were trying to do was, with Felix, at least try to temper it with having Felix presence and, you know, all that kind of thing. But it, to me, it didn't quite succeed in that. So that was the one... That was the beginning piece of my criticism. And I think there's a lot of good things about the writing. And I think that the way that that story was told was convincing, definitely. He seems like a total ass. And in a way that's so dramatic but also hilarious. The scene with Felix when he brings him to the girlfriend's house dressed as Darth Vader was hilarious, horrifying, but hilarious. And well done. But, you know, I have to imagine that the actor Felix was not actually in that outfit because I think that he had a double.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. I don't know that they would have the kid in that. I just don't think they would have the kid present for that kind of a scene.
Oh, because of the nudity.
Yep. In the sex.
I mean, that thing goes for the entire movie. Like, what scenes did they shoot with just the kids on set? And what scenes did they shoot with the zombies? And there were only a couple of instances, I think, the zombies or the sex in this case. And there were only a couple of instances where both things are on screen at the same time, I think. There's clearly the Darth Vader one probably treads over that line the most. That Darth Vader mask might have been completely opaque. You might not have been able to see through it.
Well, but even so, I mean, I think with the kids, even in the scenes where there were ones with the zombies, like the kids were clearly having a good time and laughing. And I have a feeling all the actors were being like, oh, we're just playing and whatever. So I think that you can get around. But it is still a little bit horrifying. I mean,
so I thought that this this, you know, interrupted coital scene is really, really well done. I like the fact that Corey, his ex-girlfriend's work friend, you know, realtor, is also like, he has a really short part, but then he's like, oh, you know what? I don't say that. Don't do that. And then he like totally puts Dave down in a. headlock.
Well, I think we should give some kind of background. So basically, like, the whole character of Dave is that his girlfriend and T break up, and this is like, there's a montage scene of them like fighting and how
I really
like
that
it is.
Scene.
And
yeah,
it was
the,
great. I mean,
arguing.
it was convincing and stressful to watch and made sense, and you totally bought it. And then he thinks that he's going to redeem himself by proposing and offering to give her a baby. And his whole ploy is that he's going to bring his nephew to like beat Darth Vader. I don't know how, I don't know how this worked, but anyway, interrupts her mid sex session with her coworker. And the coworker turns out to be like, he seems like a nice guy. you know, like that's like the funny.
No, she's probably made a good trade up.
But the comedy, the physical comedy in the scene, and also the writing and the interactions of the characters, the actors, was excellent, I thought. It was so awkward, but well done, and really, I thought that this was, like, in terms of, like, the direction of this film, I think that they did a great job. So
basically, anytime Felix puts on the Darth Vader outfit, things get great in
this
movie.
That is absolutely true.
because they just they really have fun with the Darth Vader character, you know, persona, and like using the Force powers, especially later. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
But then in this scene, he's just delivering his lines in this like raspy kid voice and sticking with it, like very method, right, throughout the entire thing. And so, yeah, great scene. And this scene basically makes the first act of the film, in my opinion. After this scene, you know, his sister is justifiably horrified that he took her son out into Sydney or wherever they are in the middle of the night without telling her. And Felix, of course, is just like, yeah, you know, we went to see Auntie, whatever her name is, and and he called her a slutty vagina or something like that.
Yep.
Oh, gosh. So then in the next scenes, basically, we get introduced to Lupita Nyong'o's character, Audrey Caroline, the kindergarten teacher. And it's a little bit Happy Gilmore-esque, I guess.
Yeah,
no, Billy Madison, rather. When Uncle Dave shows up at school with all of his grown up and not adjusting the way he acts for children.
Correct. And this is one of the, you know, like he and again, the character, the actor, Little Diesel, who plays Felix, like as they're walking through the schoolyard and Felix is getting teased by other kids because of his gluten allergies or whatever. But also has a girlfriend. And Felix is also getting made fun of by like the disabled kid. And you know, I think one of the things about that whole scene that, you know, resonates, I think, with aunties and uncles and parents is that you do see kids doing this and like, you kind of have to let them work it out. And Felix is like, just kind of taking it in stride. I mean, he's not happy about it, but he's kind of working through it.
Yeah.
But Uncle Dave is super upset about it. So there is something to be said for him about the fact that he's protective of his nephew. However, this is another piece that like, okay, and maybe I am being overly sensitive to it, but one of the kids, Max, says something about Felix not having a dad, and Dave like crushes him behind a door.
Yeah, smacks his head on the door. Sorry, I thought it was funny.
It's sort of funny, but it's okay. So I guess my thing is like anybody like it's one thing to like say something to a kid, but like to physically hurt them, that is weird. And I just don't like seeing that in a film.
That's where the Billy Madison thing element comes into it. Cause Adam Sandler was basically beating up kindergartners and, you know, playing dodgeball. It's the same kind of humor.
It's the same idea. And it bothered me in that movie too. So I guess maybe I'm just being overly,
to me, it's just like wish fulfillment for what I would like to do to, you know, kids who are bullying, you know, my kids. So yeah, I get it. It doesn't mean you have to act on that, but it's funny in a movie like this, especially with a douchey character like Dave. He can get away with it.
Yep. But he is totally in love with Ms. Caroline, and he keeps calling her Ms. Caroline, which is a little creepy. And, you know, she's like, they've got her, like, she is a beautiful woman. She, I think, may be one of the most beautiful people on this planet.
She might as well be in the Louvre, you know?
Yeah, like she's work a goddess. Of art. Let's just say she's a goddess. And, you know, they have her dressed in this, like, beautiful, like, yellow dress. Like, she's playing the ukulele. And, you know, it is very funny because when Dave gets home and his sister basically calls him out on it and says like, yeah, everybody's in love with her. All the dads hit on her and all sorts of stuff. And she's kind of like, don't be that guy. And he's like, oh no, of course not. As he does something very awful as he with volunteers the school photo. Yes. As he volunteers for,
he volunteers to go, oh God. Yeah. The school photo scene. I kind of blanked that one out. He volunteers to go on this, excursion, they call it, basically a field trip to a petting zoo, because one of the other parent chaperones dropped out. And so he's diving into his new role. He was read the riot act by his sister and told that he would have to leave their house if he didn't like start contributing. And so this is, I think, he thinks he's contributing and also tried to get into Miss Caroline's bloomers.
Yep.
And that sets up the second and third acts of the film very nicely. And so, yeah, the next scene we have is basically them on the bus. He seems to be regretting his decision to join them because they've been singing Shake It Off.
Yeah.
Potentially for many, many iterations. It's not clear, but it feels, it's based on his reaction. He's not having a good time with it. And they, they're like, their bus driver's changing a tire or something. And so, and then she asks him to play one of his songs because he keeps going on about his, how he's the lead man for a band when we know from the montage and other scenes we've seen that he's a busker.
Yep.
So
and his band
pulls,
left him.
Yeah, right, because his sister or his girlfriend have laid it all out there that he's basically a giant failure. Yep. And so he plays, I didn't actually have the subtitles on, so I didn't catch all the lyrics, but it was a lot about daddy in his song. Did you catch more of it?
Yeah, there's a lot about daddy leaving, and, you know, this is, you get that there are some daddy issues there, and later on he fills this in for us. So, yes,
he does. And he's playing on this weird electric, I don't know anything about guitars, but it seems like he has amps built into the guitar somehow. Is that a thing?
It may be a thing, but I think that they're just, making a little bit of make-believe for the purposes of this particular okay. scene.
Because it manages to get pretty loud.
Yep.
The kids all seem to be unhappy. Miss Caroline kind of asks him to stop playing, and they keep going to the petting zoo. We have a cutaway scene to this United States military base because Australia and sure.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny the way that they kind of, this is obviously a film made by Australians, shot in Australia, I assume, but then it has a lot of American actors.
Yep.
And how they kind of, they don't really bother to explain it away. But nope. they do at least mention the fact that, oh yeah, there's American military here for no reason whatsoever. And you've got, you know, characters like Josh Gad shows up. Do we know what, oh yeah, Lupita Nyong'o, we don't know where she was from originally, but she does explain why she's in Australia eventually.
Right.
Like, so they basically do, even though this is a kind of a mismatch of different nationalities in this cast, they do explain it. They don't always explain it, but they also, it just works too. I don't know.
Yep.
It's easy to make the U.S. military the bad guy, obviously, right?
Right. And then easy to make the Josh Gad character, who is this children's performer, that he is touring or whatever, because it's like he's doing this world tour.
Yep.
And I feel like, especially with the Josh Gad character, they managed to embody the annoying yet creepiness of, like, children's television characters.
Yeah.
In a, like, it's a little over the line, but it's a little bit on the nose. I don't know how you felt about it, but I was like, ooh, it was a little disturbing.
Yeah.
Because of how kind of real it could potentially be.
Teddy McGiggle is the name of this character, yeah. And he is, yeah, he's a smarmy, gross.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. But what a treat for the kids. The kids are all into it.
Yep.
I also thought, like, the scene of the two security guards walking through this underground bunker, where one guy is just obsessed with, like, animals in Australia that could kill you, and he's going through this list, and we see our first zombie. And it's predictable how this goes down, but we also hear through radio calls that there's, like, a massive breach and things are going very badly. The scene at the front gate with the tourists who are trying to get to Putt-Putt Gulf, and the front gate security guard when the alarm starts going off. Like, these are all pretty much, I was laughing out loud for a lot of this film, especially after the first act and you get through all that horrible, horrible Uncle Dave stuff. It just turns into a straight up comedy with elements of horror.
Yeah, definitely. And it's, I think that they, you know, there's enough of the elements of comedy that the horror piece of it, especially with the kid involvement, I think that this is the way you have to go.
You have, yes, I agree.
So there's no way to go any other way. So I think it's, I think that they do a successful job. So my sort of distaste with some of the slapstick elements aside, and some of the sort of more over the top elements, I think that it is a good thing. And there were, like, definitely moments, like, all throughout this film that I was laughing. So I think that they, but, and the makeup, you know, for a horror film, I thought the makeup was really good too.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Their test subject zombies also have really good costuming because they're wearing these weird outfits and they have chains on them, but they're like, you know, techno horror. It's a good look.
So I feel like overall, just in terms of like a production point of view, I thought that this was like a very, to me, it was a successful production. I know that, like, I don't know if you saw some of the reviews for this, but it's gotten some mixed and some people that are a little bit more, I guess they're looking for something new in the zombie genre and
those are always the negative people.
I don't know. I thought this was like kind of a fun romp. I think if you can get over the kid piece of it, which is a little hard, but they manage, I think, fairly well.
Like, okay, there are other kids at the petting zoo, which a little bit undermines this next thing I'm going to say. And they do murder off a bunch of tweens, I'm pretty sure, because there's a whole girls' school group there, and they all get turned into zombies. But the kindergarten class, or whatever they are supposed to be, a bunch of five-year-olds, the most scary thing that happens to them, really, is Felix's anaphylactic shock scenario.
Yeah.
Like, that's the worst thing that happens for these kids. They do a conga line through a bunch of zombies, but that never really, in a way, it almost feels like they never actually try to make you feel like these kids are in danger too. So that can defang the movie a little bit, but it's enough that they're even in this scenario, I think. So that's okay. Like, I was okay with that.
Yeah.
No, agreed. So yeah, like the kids were basically never really in harm's way. They are, because, I mean, Holly, my wife, walks into the room as I'm watching this, and she's like, wait, is that just kids in a, and those are all zombies? Okay, I feel sick. Like, she just wasn't happy about it. But for you and me, I think we're a little different. numb to it at this point.
Yeah. And I feel like even in the parts where they were, you know, especially when it's like the Josh Gad character where he's sort of going through and it's the most, I think, the most sort of like face like with the kids being zombies. It's pretty quick and they cut away pretty quick. So it's not, I mean, there's one specific moment that's pretty graphic, but.
Wait, the one he's actually fighting those kids zombies. Yeah, that was a bit much. I felt like that didn't need to be.
What I was going to say is that's the only part that like I felt like was a little too, I don't know that they needed that.
Yeah, he's already. I mean, he's already
shown what a horrible, like a horrible person. And
we know he's terrible. All the cursing that he was doing, and this is another one of these scenes where I was fairly sure that the kids weren't there when he was delivering those lines. You know, I don't know. That was one of the things that was going through my head most of the time while I was watching this was, are those zombies? Are those people all like in full zombie makeup outside the windows? Because you can't really tell often when they're inside the visiting center. And is Josh Gad actually, you know, dropping F-bombs in front of 10 five-year-olds constantly? And I don't think that was true in either case.
Yeah.
Until, you know, like, I feel like one of the only scenes where you see kids and zombies together is right at the end when they're bopping them on the head with a
putter. And the kids are definitely laughing, so I think that's the point where I was saying that I think probably the actors were having fun with the kids, and the kids weren't scared. So so that was good.
So Josh Gad does a great job of being horrible, and you know, Holly was also like, "Oh my God, is that Olaf?" You know, so he already has this like childish wonder character reputation, Josh Gad. And so to see him in a role like this where he's actually kind of like cashing in on some of that was great. I mean, there's so many laugh out loud good moments between him and Dave when they're on the roof and they're talking about Al Pacino and all this. And he's like, oh, what's that smell? Oh, it's me. I was going to blame it on you, but I shit my pants. And dude, I never stopped laughing. I feel like once the second act of this movie started, it was just like, it was great. With, you know, a couple of exceptions.
Exceptions. Like, as I said, I think that this overall was a very successful film. The only parts that I was really, you know, it was what I talked about, just about the character arc in the beginning. But I also think that, to me, the physical comedy, some of it, especially with the Josh Gad character, and how gross they make him. I mean, I feel like they went a little bit too far with him because I think he could have been despicable enough without the elements that they introduce. Yeah. They do this weird puking thing with him, which I just found to
be a few times
like awful and yeah. not necessary. And, you know, so I just felt like that could have been ratcheted back a little bit. But I also think that perhaps part of that was to sort of increase the absurdity of the film and make it, you know, what we talked about, that it wasn't a horror film in that sense, and makes the other things a little bit more not palatable, because they're not, but a little less horrific because you're dealing with kids. So, you know, I love Lupita Nyong'o. I thought that it was definitely, in terms of the, it seemed to me like the cast was having a lot of fun making it, especially with the kids. So I think that that's kind of what you got to do. But I enjoyed it. I was laughing. There wasn't, generally, I was laughing throughout this film, even though there were a couple of moments that I felt were cringe-worthy, at least for me. So
by the end, once Dave's arc of redemption begins, it feels good, because also now you also got Josh Gad, and like having him and a crappy Uncle Dave would have been, you know, capsizing the boat with negativity. And so he kind of comes around pretty quick. But there's, you know, part of me was like, well, that doesn't seem very realistic. How could he change so fast? But at the same time, he was so bad in Act One that you're like, oh yeah, bring it on. He's going to be good now. And then all the musical numbers, like, apparently Lupita Nyong'o has had to say, like, she's not going to put out an album. She's going to stay with acting, because people are like, dude, you're really good with the ukulele and with the singing. And once Uncle Dave stops trying to sing about Daddy on his guitar, he gets some pretty good musical numbers, too. The ukulele is just good for that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Totally good. And, I mean, I thought that the sets were pretty good, too. Overall, I thought that the humor that they use, the whole park in and the putt-putt, and like the random koala that was dressed up in the zombie koala was, I mean, I think all those things were done very well. And it didn't, you know, I also thought the pacing was pretty good. It kept moving. There was maybe,
well, it's 90 minute movie, right? So
yeah, like it's not, there isn't, you know, sometimes you feel like things are a little disjointed, or they're like really just trying to get in whatever they're trying to get in. And I did not feel that at all with this. And there's, you know, and I feel like they kept the level of silliness. I didn't feel like it was uneven.
Yeah.
It was very much all on the same like sort of tone. So I would recommend it. I think it's great.
When the U.S. military shows up too, which there's a chance there to get too serious, right? Like you were just saying, but they let them have some little one-liners also, like, sir, that's a ukulele, sir, sort of stuff that just lightens all the tension, even though what we're looking at is a scene of a bunch of riflemen aiming down at like all these children. They don't know that they're there, but they manage to keep it light. And obviously they don't end up shooting all the children, which is a real bonus.
Yeah. That was a tense moment in any case.
I mean, was it? I guess it could have been, but there was no way.
Right.
So they were trying to do something there with the zombies too, like where they were clapping along with songs and like doing call and response, but then they just end up, you know, shooting them all with machine guns. But it seemed like maybe they were trying to start making a point about how the zombies could just be trained through music,
right?
But I felt like it was not really that developed, and then not followed through with, and that's fine because I don't really care about that anyway.
Well, I think that was a little bit of the point, is that they were suddenly going to come up with this thing, and it's like, nope, we're just going to take them out. So that, I think, was somewhat deliberate. But I enjoyed it. I actually did not end up seeing it in the theater because it was on such limited release. It was just a little bit impossible to make
even the show times.
So I ended up Hulu-ing it. And I like the fact that it was available on Hulu. I think it's great.
Yeah, that's a pretty crazy model. But, I mean, I assume they had a really good deal with Hulu to do that. But I love the fact that I could see it at the same time, basically, that it was in the theater. And I hope that Hulu can do this for more films.
Yeah. But anyway, that's a, like, enjoyable little Halloween treat, I suppose, as we come into the ghoulish season.
And we're definitely there. I mean, Double Tap, I think, comes out next week.
It does. So I think we kind of have to do that, no?
Probably. Yep. And I sent you, I forget how, but yeah, there's a Walking Dead novel out there now that's actually getting decent reviews. Typhoon, set in China. So you know, we've always been interested in seeing Kirkman's world elsewhere globally. So I think that we will also have that on our list of stories to look at. I mean, it's a novel written by, I forget his name, but nobody we've heard of before in this world. So have you read more into it or just the headline?
Nope, I just read the headline, but I'm definitely happy to check that out.
Yeah, so guys, I hope you enjoyed Little Monsters as much as AJ and me. It gets the Reanimated 2 thumbs up, especially after finishing such a miserable series of Fear the Walking Dead. I have still not watched The Walking Dead Prime since the end of Fear the Walking Dead. I'm like in denial. I don't want to go back to that world. I feel like I've been burned. I will eventually. I'm not crazy. But gosh, this was so... Little Monsters was really good for me in the wake of Fear the Walking Dead, is all I'm saying. But next time, please get back together with us when we are going to be talking about Zombieland : Double Tap.
Yes, I'm very excited to see this with you and review it with you. Well, I guess we'll be seeing it across the country from each other. And this will hopefully be two weeks in a row where we can talk about excellent films together.
Yeah, what a great time to be alive. October, right? So cool. Thank you. Listen to the podcast, and you're listening to it right now, hopefully. Leave us a message on, give us the Twitters, give us the emails, give us the website. I think you guys know what those are. If not, listen to literally every other podcast we've ever done. And nice. All 221 of those and the missing episodes. Zombie ass.
Yep.
And let us know if you have any other thoughts about Little Monsters. And get together with us next time. So thank you for listening, and bye.
Ciao.
All right.